Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and I'm coming to you live from Lake Arrowhead, UCLA Bruinwoods Camp with my good friend, Sharzad. Say hey, Sharzad.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
So introduce yourself a little bit. We're just two hardworking moms who work even on vacation, so what better opportunity to podcast than with one of the founders of Mixed Makeup and her own... She's got her own podcast coming soon, but tell us all about your channels for those who don't know you.
Sure. Well, to clarify, I'm not an original founder of Mixed Makeup. That's all Susan Yara, but I am part of the team, and I've been part of the team for a long time. And Susan and I do have a podcast coming hopefully soon. But as for me, I host a lot of different shows. I've been hosting for about 8 years, a variety of different things from mom content, beauty. I had a show sharing good news, healthy recipes, really anything that I think is interesting and fun at the time. I'll try and host it. So a little bit of everything.
And you're a UCLA alumni.
I am.
So how many years have you been coming up to UCLA Bruinwoods?
So this is my second year at Bruinwoods. I graduated from UCLA in 05, and I had no idea what this magical land of Bruinwoods was. I heard about it about 2.5 years ago, and then we came last summer, fell in love with it, and then came again this summer. So 2 years in, and it's looking like we're going to be lifers because it's just so magical. And this is your 11th summer?
We've been coming for 11 years, and we love it. And, once you come up here, it's the only vacation with kids where you can actually get some rest and enjoy and know that they're all having a blast.
Totally. Yeah, I did a triathlon yesterday. I hiked part of the PCT, Pacific Crest Trail, the other day and jumped off of rocks into ice-cold water. I mean, I'm living my true self here, so it's great. I love it.
Funny, because I sat by the pool all day, and I went to the art center, and I had some really good meals and conversations, and that was my best life.
Nice. Yeah, mine consists of like running and sweating and pushing myself in like a physical way. I'm going water skiing tomorrow, which I haven't done since high school, so we'll see how that goes.
Okay, don't injure yourself.
I'll be safe.
Yes, and I have 4 kids, and you have 2 kids.
Two boys.
How old are your boys?
5 and 2.5, creeping up on 3.
Amazing. So you're super busy, and like me, you have to multitask, and we get work done any time of the day or night when it's possible, I imagine, right?
Yeah, always. If I can, you know, I think the thing about becoming a mom is that you, at least in my experience, I work much more efficiently. I know if I have an hour in between dropping off or picking up or running errands or going to the grocery store or whatever the long list of things to do is, I will work so hard in that 1 hour that I have, or 2 hours, or whatever the case may be. I've learned to become very efficient so that I can do all the things that I love and try and be really present at the same time.
Yeah, it's a challenge, and I never understood these people who say there's no such thing as multitasking, that you can't really multitask in life, because I'm like, just have a child. You have to learn how to multitask, because otherwise you'll get nothing done other than just doing mom stuff all day, and it's crazy, but we are required to run a household, run a business, run educational process for for your important offspring.
Right.
There is so much to do in a day.
There is. I don't love multitasking, to be honest, though. Sometimes I just do it naturally because, like you said, I'm a mom. I have to do, you have to do a bunch of things at once. But in a perfect world, I do better when I focus on one thing at a time. So I try really hard not to multitask, even though it creeps up, and it's not something that I don't want to be, because I feel like when I'm multitasking, I'm distracted and I'm half-assing everything. Mm-hmm. When I do something, I want to use my full ass.
And I got jokes.
I like the idea of time blocking, where you try to give yourself like, okay, for 20 minutes, I'm just going to do messages and emails, and then like another 20 minutes, I'm just going to walk on the treadmill. But I don't know. I'm always constantly interrupted. So I have never had 20 minute period since from childbirth to age 20, when these kids
they start to sleep in starting around like middle school.
That's what you said at breakfast. And I'm excited for that. Oops.
That's right. Starting around middle school, you'll have to like drag them out of bed, as opposed to they jump on your bed at 6 a.m.
Yeah, I'm in the jumping on the bed at 6 a.m. stage. But I actually just hit like a really great stride in parenting, I think, knock on wood. After my youngest was potty trained, it just felt like we hit this new area where things are a little bit easier. So I'm really riding that wave right now, and I'm enjoying it.
What are your thoughts on giving kids devices like iPads and phones? And I see so many kids sitting quietly and nicely at restaurants with headphones and iPads, but it's sort of comical.
Yeah. I would say I have a lot of mixed feelings. I personally try and limit screen time. I certainly don't care what other people do, and everybody has to do what works for them. And I have absolutely let my kids be on the screen so that my husband and I can have a meal and actually look at each other and not get a babysitter. And I've used the iPad as my babysitter and all that. Yeah. That being said, over the years, I've tried really hard. I guess it's been over the last like 2 years. I've tried really, really hard to set some boundaries, mm-hmm. not just with my son's iPad use or screen time, but really with my own too, because I feel like it's, you have to lead by example. So if I'm glued to my phone, of course my kids are going to be glued to their screens. So that's been a shift in the way I've parented, is just to be really mindful of how much I'm looking at my phone. So I've actually established a lot of rules in my house with screen time and usage. And I don't know what like people recommend is good or bad, but I'm sure the less they're on the screen, the better for adults down to kids. I'm sure that it's pretty safe to say that humans weren't meant to be on screens all day long. So I'm mindful of that, and I've been working my ass off to try and get them off their screens. Like, we didn't bring iPads to Bruin Woods.
Oh, good for you. Yeah.
It's been great. And there's been a couple trips in the past where I've forgotten the iPad and thought, holy shit, I'm going to be so screwed here. And I'm not. And I didn't have any of this stuff when I was growing up, and I turned out fine. I played with whatever I could find.
Sugar packets restaurant table are amazing. Yes. And coloring and cards.
I will say, like, we were on vacation. You'll hear some cute little campers screaming in the back, probably. One of them is mine. We were on vacation at this beautiful place. We were at the Four Seasons Punta Mita in Mexico.
Yes.
And I was with my husband and my two kids, and we're sitting and we're watching this sunset. A sunset so beautiful that it's the kind that, like, almost brings tears to your eyes. It's just breathtaking. If you've ever seen a sunset in Mexico at this particular place, Punta Mita, you know what I'm talking about. And the family next to us, all four of them, kids and parents, were glued to their screens and missed the entire sunset. Yeah. And it just really pissed me off. And it's something that stuck with me. And I thought, I hope that I don't do that. I'm trying not to judge. Yeah. But I was like really disappointed in that family. Here you are in an expensive resort. It's not cheap to get here with the gorgeous sunset, which I'm assuming is one of the reasons you've come to a beachfront resort, is to watch the sunset. And the whole family is not communicating with each other, isolated with their faces and their phones. And I thought that that was sad. I honestly felt like it was sad.
It is sad. I have to work on that too, like just not taking pictures as much and just being in the moment. Yeah. And it's important. They say the average adult now has 10 hours of screen time per day. If you count the hours at work and you're on your computer and then you're on your phone at lunchtime. Yeah. Right. And like, it's just kind of intense.
Yeah.
And then you get cell phone anxiety too if your battery should die or you should misplace your phone.
Oh my God. But to be free of your phone, even to like test yourself and go like, you know, for like 3 hours without your phone, or go work out or go on a hike without your phone. I know that's not possible for everybody, especially when you have like super little kids and, you know, but I try and test myself. Like at Bruin Woods, it's been really great. I've like left my phone for a few hours and gone on a hike or whatever, because I know my kids are in really good hands.
We should all practice that. There's so many influencers right now who are doing like social media holiday. I see them say goodbye on their Instagram, like Instagram goodbye. Yep. I'm taking a week off or a month off or whatever it takes to become human again.
Yep.
So
digital detox is what I like to call them.
I do them
as regularly as I can. Like if a Sunday, you know, I don't have anything. I mean, there's no, you know, I don't need to be on my phone on the weekends all the time. I love social media, though. I feel like I don't want to come off as like I'm bashing social media, because I think it can be a really fun place to connect and find people that have common interests. And especially on this motherhood journey, I know a lot of moms can feel isolated, and to find moms that you relate to can feel really, really great when you're feeling alone. That being said, I do think it's important to just kind of take a break, put the phone down, sit quietly with your thoughts, journal. I've been getting back into journaling more, and reading, and just doing the things that make me feel like a human, you know, and it feels good.
Yeah, it really does. Well, tell me about Mixed Makeup. What's going on with that? I had the pleasure of having you guys in our office, and you did some nice fire and ice peels for pigmentation and just for skin brightening. So but I feel like you guys have done every treatment in Los Angeles, every single beauty treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have. Yes. Mixed Makeup is killing it. Susan is...
To check them out on YouTube.
Yeah, check us out. Susan is one of the smartest people I've ever met. I feel really lucky to be friends with her on a personal level and to also work with her. We've been working on the SaaS. December will be about 5 years, but Mixed Makeup, she founded about 5.5 years ago. So I came on board when it was just a little baby channel, about 6 months old. But it's growing really, really, really fast. It should be hitting 1 million this year, 1 million subscribers. So that's exciting for everybody that's been involved with it, just to see this thing become the beast that it is. And Susan is the most, you know, one of the most knowledgeable people that I've ever met when it comes to skin and skincare. Actually, she is the most knowledgeable person I've ever met. And she, Mixed Makeup is just this beast that's just going full speed ahead. And it's fun to be on that ride. And, Susan and I launched FAM a few years ago. I want to say like maybe 2 years ago, and that's going to morph into some fun things soon.
And that's a YouTube channel also. Kind of devoted to moms and motherhood.
Yep, and that's called FAM for All Moms, and we really like to talk about mom stuff there. Susan was pregnant with her first when I was pregnant with my second, and we just started talking about a lot of mom stuff, and we decided to put our conversations on the internet in case anybody else was feeling the same way or having the same insecurities or questions. Susan and I are really good, I think, at both being really honest and vulnerable, and we also have different parenting styles. So I think that makes for good conversation.
How would you describe your parenting style?
I think I'm a bit more laid back. I don't do as much research as Susan does when it comes to like products and things.
She researched the heck out of what baby bag to buy. I remember.
Yeah, I'm a little bit more laid back. So yeah, just different. I mean, the core of our parenting style, I would say, is the same. Like, we love our kids and we want the best for them. And you know, we go about it in different ways. But at the end of the day, it just makes for good conversation. And For All Moms was really founded on this principle that we're here for all the moms, no matter what their parenting style is and whatever approach they have, that we're here for them and we want to support them and we want to make them feel less alone. Because I think being a mom is a wild ride. And if you know that somebody else is going through whatever you've been through, there is peace to being, to knowing that you're not the only one dealing with something. Does that make sense, or did I just completely ramble?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. It's really hard when you're a mom and you have no support other than like your immediate, you know, your own mom and your mother-in-law, and they're maybe not your age group, maybe not your parenting, you know, the styles change and tools of parenting change. That's kind of cool to talk to people that are your generation.
Yeah.
And makeup wise, what's new in makeup? I hear that L'Oreal says the U.S. consumer is oversaturated with makeup and the makeup market's gone down this year. Have you heard that?
God, no, I haven't heard that. See, that's something Susan would have heard. I don't know.
Hey, Susan, come on the show.
I'm not sure.
Do you feel at all oversaturated? Because I kind of do. Like, I'm sort of flipping past the makeup stuff a little bit, but I'm not a big makeup girl.
Yeah. I've in my life loved makeup. I would say this year I've probably worn the least amount of makeup in my entire life.
That's the mom decade for you. You're happy with a layer of mascara and sunscreen.
Yeah, if that. I literally have tinted moisturizer on and I think that's about it. But yeah, so I don't know.
There's my sunscreen, which is amazing, which you have to try. Tinted SPF 50.
Oh, your brand.
My brand. Oh, it's cool. Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I would absolutely love to try that. But yeah, it is saturated. I mean, skincare, there, it feels like there's always a new product, a new line, a new launch, and makeup, of course, it feels never ending. And it's interesting, though, you know, there's a lot of influencers that are launching makeup lines and makeup companies and collaborations, and I think that's really cool. But yeah, there's a lot of options.
I feel that there's going to be a trend this year towards more authoritative makeup brands, like, for example, physician-branded skincare. Yeah. Because there are so many influencers out there that are just putting out a product like Kylie, like whoever's out there doing it with very little product knowledge. And also they put such little research into the quality of the goods that they're putting out, which is just shameful because they have they have access to like so much research dollars. And like if they just put a little thought into the quality of the product and the benefits, but like they don't have the knowledge base.
Yeah.
So I don't know that the consumer's always going to fall for, like, this pretty girl tells me to try this skincare. I'm hoping the consumer is a little more educated than that.
I think consumers are getting savvier. I've noticed that younger and younger kids are really mindful. They do not want a brand that's been tested on animals. They do not want any animal products in their brands. They are researching, you know, what political affiliation the owner of the company is. And I think that consumers are getting more and more savvy with every single day that goes by. And I love it. It's going to hold brands to a much higher standard. And I think that's great. It's mind-boggling to me that brands would ever continue testing on animals and stuff still in 2019. So I think consumers are getting smarter, and I think that the brands that don't have good, you know, clean practices and environmentally friendly practices and aren't, you know, leaning towards recyclable packaging and all these things, that they're not going to last very long. Yeah. So I think the younger consumers are, they want to look hot, but they want to also, they care about planet Earth. Yeah. And I think that's freaking awesome.
That's great. Yeah. I think that maybe this coming generation of products is going to have all that, like not animal tested and natural good ingredients, but also like research on efficacy. Like, does this product really work? Does it really say to do what it's going to do?
Totally.
Yeah, because otherwise you're putting on like, okay, clean, green products, but does it do anything?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. I know. There's a lot of like really, you know, vegan, clean, this and that, and they might not last for very long.
No.
So,
and many ingredients like essential oils, like, okay, great, sounds great, but very highly irritating to the skin.
That's true. Yes, that is absolutely true. And that, that's not my world, but I think that the consumer is getting smarter and smarter. But yeah, I know nothing about product development or what goes into making a clean beauty product last longer. What kind of chemicals are like okay and good for the skin versus ones that are just absolutely terrible. But you know, consumers are getting smarter. They're reading labels more than ever. They're understanding what humectants are, and they're understanding what different types of acids are. And they have people like Susan educating them all the time, people that really know what they're talking about. And so, so I think that's great.
This year was really big with hyaluronic acids, and then do you foresee anything really like awesome coming trends in skincare makeup?
No, but I mean, I don't know about different trends, but I think people are absolutely taking better care of their skin probably now more than ever. It feels that way anyway. I feel like
maybe it feels like a little less focus on makeup to cover skin problems and more focus on like treating your skin so that it's like amazing skin and you don't need a ton of makeup for.
Exactly. And using like good quality products for your skin, and whatever that means for each individual person is so different.
Yeah.
People that watch the SAS, for example, know that I have the most sensitive skin on the planet. I get really red. I want to be treated like an infant at all times when it comes to my face.
Baby products only.
Yes, just baby products. Treat me like a baby.
What is the craziest treatment that you've done this year so far?
Oh, this year. I was like,
Wait, what was the thing where they were hammering somebody's face? Was that your
face? Yeah, that was my face. My face got hammered. Yeah, there is. Oh my God, we've done so many things. It's funny because Susan likes more like crazy treatments, I would say, and I'm all about the hippie stuff. I'm all about like the weird oils and the hammering my face and kind of the alternative.
How did that feel? What did that do actually?
Great. Kind of like loosened up my. I mean, it just felt great. I like facial massages. I like my face to get like worked on because. There's obviously so many muscles in your face and they get neglected. Usually when you get a massage, people focus on other areas. And so anytime somebody's touching my face, I just think it feels awesome. But in terms of crazy, this year has been, God, I can't even remember the craziest thing. We got our butts sucked up into like a massive cup, but that was the end of last year. But I think that would probably be up there with one of the craziest ones. It looked crazy.
Did it look good though after?
For
like an hour.
Exactly. I was going to say, you got to do that religiously to, I think, notice a difference.
What's that called?
I cannot remember.
Oh, okay. Butt suction cups.
Yeah. It was at a place called Derriere's in West Hollywood. I'm totally blanking on the name, but, my butt's on the internet. So cool. But it was fun. It just looked wild because it was this massive. It almost looked like a breast pump that you'd put your butt cheek into. And the way it sucked it up.
Yeah. For those of you who've ever tried a breast pump, you can visualize this. Yeah. Yes.
Like sucks in the bootay.
Yeah. Did you breastfeed?
I did.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It was an experience.
Yeah, it was harder with my first. With my second, it was a piece of cake. I had no pressure on myself the second time around, and I found that it was way easier because I was not stressed and I put no pressure. Mom pressure is such bullshit, and yet we all put so much pressure on ourselves. So,
did you use a pump too? I had to pump a lot.
Yeah, I pumped. I pumped. I did everything. And again, with my first, I tortured myself. I pumped at like 3 a.m. because people told me that my milk supply would be the highest. Like
I did
in
that too, like a crazy woman. I'd sit up and put a pump on. Well, I had twins, so it was like double pumping. It was crazy.
I don't know how twin moms even survive. And I asked one of my friends who's a twin mom. I was like, "How did you like survive?" She goes, "Well, girl, I had no choice. I had to." And I'm like, "Oh yeah. Stupid question." And you're right. You had to.
Just do what it takes.
Yeah. You just do it. You take it one day at a time, one foot in front of the other, and you just make it work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you guys should take mixed makeup on the road and be like diners, drive-ins, and dives, and like. Go to different cities and do the kookiest treatments and the neatest, like the most spiritual things out there.
Susan needs to have her baby and then feel comfortable. And then we are so ready for phase two of the SAS, which would involve like meeting a lot of the fans and meeting a lot of people that want to share their city with us and, you know, doing some cool treatments around the country to start with. I'm ready to take it like to Asia, India.
India, let's do that. That'd be fun.
I could spend a month doing treatments in India.
I totally
fascination.
Yes,
Indian beauty treatments, anything Ayurveda.
We get coconut oil massages to the scalp where they drip the oil on your forehead. Yeah. Shiradhara, it's called.
Okay.
And then like a total body turmeric treatment.
Bathe me in turmeric. Sign me up for everything. And then I want to be in a Bollywood movie. Is that too much to ask?
And then we'll do henna.
Yeah, that's just. Small things
that I have. Henna, bangles, and mehndi, and like the works.
Just like a cultural exploration of beauty. Just really.
You're Persian, so I love Persian culture.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I do too.
Do you know how to cook Persian food?
No. I don't. I need to learn. I do need to learn. That'll happen one day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phase 2 and the SAS. Well, what's your philosophy on beauty and injectables? Have you done any injectables that you're comfortable talking about?
Yeah, totally. I got my first Botox experience on the SAS. So I think I was 31 when I did it. And I loved the results. I went to Dr. Deer. It's on the SAS, and he's fabulous, and I've gone back to him since. I really like that he takes a very conservative approach with me. I probably get Botox twice a year, if that. I'm also pretty low maintenance in that area. I don't have any issues with wrinkles. There's just like a few here and there.
She's just fabulous, gorgeous, beautiful blue eyes, very clear skin, smooth forehead from the Botox. Have you done any fillers?
I tried filler once and it wasn't my cup of tea.
In the lips or where?
No, never. I don't want my lips any bigger than they are. I used to hate how big they were when I was younger. If I want my lips bigger, I do gloss and an overlining. But I got filler under my eyes once, and just a tiny, tiny bit, and it wasn't for me. It was a little over a year ago.
Did you dissolve it or it just went away?
It just went away. Yeah, it was just truly like a tiny bit, and I don't think anybody noticed except me. And I like to make a lot of faces. I like to be animated. And I felt like I was just looking a little bit different. And so, yeah. But hey, whatever works for people. I do think people are getting Botox and fillers at a way younger age. The fact that like 18, 19, 20-year-olds are doing fillers and Botox is crazy to me.
I mean, I see it for people who want to do preventative things. Like, you can definitely furrow enough to get a deep crease in your forehead starting at a very early age. So it sort of makes sense prevention-wise to just never get lines if you're a frowner or a crinkler. Or some people are born with just very deep-set hollow. Like, they look sunken-eyed even in their 15 years old. And so it's bothered them since high school.
Yeah.
So those people. I actually do from Instagram, but I would say not so much the 18s, but, you know, like 25.
Yeah.
I think 25 is young, but it's good for prevention.
Yeah. 25, that's different. you've got, like, maybe you're a little bit more settled, a little bit more settled in who you are, and you have your own money, but it feels like at 18.
Yeah, it's a little young.
Mess with those perfect little 18-year-old faces. I don't know. But then again, look, if somebody has something that really, really bugs them and they can do something about it, then they should absolutely. Yeah. I just don't want everybody looking like Kylie Jenner.
It's a slippery slope, but, like, we have to remember, like, even when we were kids, girls will get their nose job when they turn 13 for their bar mitzvah. And, you know, like, it's just things that bother people they fix. So, but I think you're right. When you're young, you have to have confidence first and foremost that you're happy with who you are, because too many people will come in to do things because they want to find happiness by fixing an external feature, and that doesn't give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I get that. If something really bugs somebody, they should do something about it. For sure. If they can and they understand what they're doing.
But there is a lot of truth to the fact that if you do too much at a younger age, you actually will look a little older. I think that's very true.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. So, and it's a lot of maintenance. Yeah. Like, if you start getting your lips done, for example, at 18, you've got to keep that up forever. Right? I mean, you would know better than me, but when filler goes away, it can kind of look a little funky on the lips.
Well, people ask that question all the time. Like, when filler goes away, does the skin stretch? Are you going to be left loose and flabby and you have to keep maintaining it? You actually do not. The filler is replacing natural volume. So your lips, for example, are their most robust at age 15.
Oh, okay.
And then about every 10 years, you're losing about 10% of your natural hyaluronic that's in your lips to create that youthfulness. So when you're adding filler, you're just replacing youthful volume.
Okay.
And when the filler breaks down, it's actually stimulated some collagen to be produced in its place. And, you know, you will maybe notice that you look tired again or look a little less youthful. But that's just the filler being gone. But you go back to your baseline, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that people should focus more on, like, trying to clear their skin, whether that's through diet or exercise or stress management or really kick-ass products, than trying to completely alter. If I could preach for a second, that's what I would say.
I agree. I think, like, skin is the main thing. Like, the things you do at home every day of the week are so much more important than twice a year that you come and see your doctor. But I do definitely believe in the preventable injectable treatments, because I sometimes look at movie stars and people who just haven't maintained themselves, and it just makes me feel a little bit sad, because I know when I look in the mirror and I feel run down because I just haven't dyed my roots in a while. Like, I just start acting older, tired, or indifferent, and regarding myself like, you know, you don't want to get to that point where you're like, I don't feel like myself anymore.
Right. I feel that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, self-care is great, and whatever that looks like for different people is, you know, it's going to be different. I'm all about self-care, though. Yeah.
What are your top tips for new moms with self-care, or just moms in general? Not even new moms, just regular moms.
Man, just go on a walk. Just take yourself outside whenever you can and just breathe the fresh air and go on a walk. And I know this is going to be hard, but try not to spend too much time scrolling Instagram and comparing your motherhood journey to somebody else's, because everybody shows a different version of motherhood on Instagram. And when you're tired and you're nursing and you're up at the butt crack of dawn with a baby, it's so easy to pick up your phone and scroll just to zone out while you're exhausted. But it's in those times that you can start to feel depressed or insecure. Or, oh my God, I haven't lost the weight yet. Or this person's already in Hawaii in a bikini and they had the baby the same month I did. And then you can develop this self-doubt and depression, and it can add to this, you know, feeling of sadness and add to the isolation that already comes with being.
It makes you feel inadequate, like to see people killing it with their, you know, they've taken 100 pictures to look that good.
Right.
But
I think, like, as much as you can, like, get out and go on a walk. When you feel ready for it, strap your baby up. My husband's calling me. Strap your baby up, put him in the stroller, get some fresh air. Don't bring your phone with you. And don't, you know, get super caught up in the Instagram world. Or if you're like, okay, I follow great people on Instagram, then that's good. You know, maybe unfollow any unrealistic moms when you first become a mom, because that can maybe make you feel a little bit bad.
Follow some hashtags that make you smile. Like, I follow Pug Life, so I look at baby pugs.
Go. Yeah.
And then I also follow STEMinist, because I like to see women in STEM do, like, girls doing amazing things with their career. So it pulls me out of, like, just beautiful people all the time, because I don't want to have that also. I have three daughters. I need them to understand it's not about superficial beauty. It's about what you're going to do on this planet.
Totally. I agree 100%. Yeah. So if you're, you know, you can follow great people that make you smile. I mean, I think Amy Schumer's approach to motherhood has been freaking hilarious. I applaud her all the time for sharing the photos that she does. And I love that. So
wait, I love the picture you posted of your son eating spaghetti. Oh, yes. Like forks optional. Yeah.
He had his fork in his left hand, just holding it. And then had his right hand that he just dipped into the spaghetti with marinara and just kept eating it with his right hand.
While holding the fork, yeah. He was like, I'm going to go for efficiency here.
Didn't use it once, but yeah, I like to show more real mom moments.
Well, it's so fabulous to chat with you here at Lake Arrowhead by the pool and sharing real mom moments and beauty and fashion and tips about faces.
Yeah.
So can't wait to have Mixed Makeup and Susan and you come back to the new office. Yes. In Pasadena.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on here, and thank you to everybody who listened. I hope I didn't ramble too much, but we're on vacay mode. So
Sharzad, where can people find you? What are your handles on Instagram and everything?
So my name, that'd be the easiest way to find me. It's Sharzad, Sharzad, and my last name is Kiade, Kiadeh. So, you know, just an easy name. Something simple. Yeah, you can find me there, and then I usually link to all the different things that I'm doing here and there. If you like me here, wait till you see me there.
That's fabulous. Well, thanks so much for tuning in, guys, and stay beautiful. Find me on my Instagram at Beauty by Dr. K, DrKay, doing amazing things with people's faces, and try my amazing sunscreen. It's SPF 50. I love it. All my beauty products are on my website, beautybydrk.com. That's it for now. Stay beautiful.